The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Oh, there's a glitch in our internet webcast. So all of you out there, type Control\Alt.Escape, and you'll be fine.
Perfect.
It's yet another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. Welcome.
Thank you for being here. I always feel like starting, when I start off with it's, like the whole Monty Python thing. Remember that? Did you ever watch Monty Python?
Well, I mean, I've seen Holy Grail.
No. Oh, you haven't watched the episodes, though. There was this episode with this old guy with a big old beard, and he would start off by going, it's, and then it would go into the whole, you have got to go to Netflix. Netflix just added last month all the episodes of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Good entertainment ad. Yeah. I've been trying to get into a brand new show on Amazon Prime. Tell me if you've seen it yet. Homecoming?
No, I've heard of it. I have not seen it, though. I'll be honest, man. I haven't really watched much television since Red Dead came out and stuff. I don't really get a chance to do a lot of stuff myself anyway now, you know, with the 2-year-old kid. But
I mean,
when I do, I'm playing games. But I have not watched anything.
All right,
we're still in season one of Man in the High Castle. I mean, geez.
I have to watch that. You keep telling me that's a good one, too.
Yeah, it takes a few episodes to get into it. But once you get into it, it's pretty good.
See, I like shows that you can tune in and boom, you're there. Like The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which, did you end up watching that ever?
No.
Dude, it's so funny. Season 2 is coming December 5th on Amazon Prime. You know, I would almost say, you know, when you used to tell me, you got to watch this on Amazon Prime, and you used to try and convince me to spend the money, get Amazon Prime for the whole year and do it, and it took me a long time, but once I did, I found Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and I like to laugh.
Yeah.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, just funny, funny, funny. And we've been waiting a long time, and now December 5th, season 2, going to be coming out of that one. So this new one that's on Amazon Prime called Homecoming stars Julia Roberts, and it's directed and put together by Sam Esmail, the same guy who did Mr. Robot. And, you know, they're wrapping up Mr. Robot. They're going to end it. So Esmail has moved on to this. I tried watching, like, I got, like, 20 minutes in. I was like, oh my God, this is really like watching molasses running down the wall. I could not get into it. See, I like shows that just pull you in.
Yeah.
Same with games. So in case you're just tuning in, you're thinking, what the heck is this show?
Yeah.
Maybe you've never heard us before. We are the show that talks about computers.
Technology.
And of course, the internet, and the internet and now encompasses.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the internet encompasses all of this. Yeah.
It's everything. It's entertainment. It's travel. It's vehicles. It's home automation, home security, food. I mean, the internet is everything now.
Everywhere. Yep.
You're going shopping. It's all about that. You're looking at a brand new television. It's, you know, is it internet enabled? It's no longer how good does the screen look? Does it have the apps? Are you able to watch this? So, I mean, it's changed the way technology has changed the way we live. And that's what this show is all about. Sometimes we'll talk about movies. We'll talk about TV shows, or we'll talk about even your tech questions. You're running Windows and you have a problem. Then you go. Feel free to go ahead and, you know, reach out to us. Now, I got to tell you about a buddy of mine who just got his iMac fixed. He took it to the App Store, and it was having a problem with the fans; they weren't spinning and all that. And, you know, he asked me, and I said, "Dude, there's nothing I can do. When it comes to Apple, the only people who can touch Apple, really, honestly, is an Apple certified, you know, a service center. And there is the Apple Store, and then there's Simutech, which does a great job. They're up on Fort Lowell and here in the Tucson area, and they do great work too. And they're Apple certified, but you know you really can't take it to a guy. And I apologize to any techs out there that do work on Apple devices, but when it comes to Mac, you're better off just taking it in the Apple.
Try to take a part of MacBook Air. It's not going to happen. I mean,
yeah.
No. Well, just take it into Apple.
The sad thing is, though, and I don't want to just knock. I guess it sounds like a knock on Apple, but the PC industry has done that as well. So if you're thinking about going out and you're looking at a new laptop, you're looking at an all-in-one, you got to remember, whereas the old days where we used to be able to change out memory, change out hard drives, in some cases, you could even replace the motherboard if you had to on a laptop or notebook. And those days are gone. You go into any retail store, and we've talked about this before, like a Best Buy or an Office Max, and you take a look at those laptops, you know, turn them over, look at the bottom of them. Mm-hmm. Where is that replaceable battery that you used to be able to change out?
Nope.
Where is the port for you to be able to add memory?
Nope.
Nope. Most of the time now,
Out that hard drive and upgrading the hard drive.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, can't even do that. You know, it used to be you could, and I did this with my Asus laptop. I have the K55, and I ended up pulling the traditional 72, actually it was a 5400 RPM hard drive in that, and I replaced it with an SSD. Smartest thing you could do when you have an older laptop, you want a little more speed. You can't even do that now. And I think maybe that's the reason why. I don't know. But just it's frustrating. The PC industry has gone down that route. But I got to tell you, my buddy who took his MacBook, he takes it in. They, you know, going to replace the fans and do that. Do you know what the bill was for that?
Oh, I bet it was really
$300.
Mm-hmm.
$300. And the thing is, you know, it's an older MacBook. And I'm thinking to myself, you could have gone out and spent that and maybe another $300 and got a, you know, laptop. However, you're in the same conundrum. Yep. You can't upgrade them.
Yep.
Nope. So what do you do?
That's why I like building the PCs still. I mean, I still like having the PC tower where I can upgrade it, you know, piece by piece. You know, I've had this case and some of the core components on this thing since 2012. So it's always done me good.
You know, I don't think you're really ever going the wrong way. Sure, you may look at it and you may say, well, You go in the store and you look at an HP rack model or, you know, a Dell or an Acer or whatever. You look at those models in the store and you might think, oh, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and get this because it has a Windows 10 license and it's configured for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you're really hurting yourself if you go and you go to somebody who builds them, whether that be SWS or some of our vendor. We have a couple of computer stores here in Green Valley. You go there and, or even you feel like you want to do it yourself. There's a lot of help out there. PC Parts Picker, which you've mentioned before,
yep.
Or even Newegg, you can find parts on there and you get the parts shipped in, you build it. Number one, you get the sense of accomplishment. You are going to pay a little more because they get special deals for the licensing of Windows, you know, Windows 10. If you're getting the most current updated OS on there, you know, if you feel
Do you mean who's going to be paying more? People that are building it themselves?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Generally, because you have to add that to the cost of the building of the system. It's still an extra $99. And my thought is somebody that is listening to this and says, well, I do need a new computer, and they go to the store, they see one for $350, $399.
Okay, well, yeah, sure. Mass produced. I guess maybe if we were to say it like this, you get more for that money if you build it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, you take $1,000 out and you build your own $1,000 computer, you'd get more out of it than you would if you were to go out and buy a $1,000 pre-configured computer on the market.
Yeah,
I think definitely.
Back about 15 years ago, when a lot of people were building their own PCs, and I don't know if you were building them back then too.
Yeah, that was right before I joined the Navy. Yeah.
So you remember one of the things about building your own system is you were looking at the peripherals, but you were also looking at the manufacturer of the motherboard that went inside your system, because each manufacturer was different. There was companies like DFI and Asus. And Asus was one of those companies, along with Shuttle. Shuttle was another good one that you knew always had really good board design and really thick PC boards.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew that you were getting a system that was really working, less interference. You just ran into those things. So you knew you were always going to be better off getting those. Because there were some boards out there, let's face it, you would get them and you would blue screen all the time. They were just real thin and badly constructed. So it did make a difference.
Yeah. And then I remember way back in the day, you know, you'd have to really, and you still do somewhat today, you have to pay attention to what parts you're getting to make sure that they operate with each other. I mean, you don't want to go out and get an Intel motherboard and then an AMD processor. But back in the day,
it's not fitting.
But back in the day, it was super important because everything had its own little specification, and you really had to make sure every component in your PC would work. Now, like with websites like PC Part Picker, you know, when you pick out the motherboard and then you start to go search for memory or the processor, it will eliminate all the ones that do not work with that motherboard. It'll tell you, I'm sorry, this doesn't work with it. You shouldn't buy this.
Right.
And so it helps you not pick the wrong parts.
When I first started getting into it, it was even more difficult because you had Intel. I was a big AMD guy. I liked AMD because AMD was generally cheaper, and AMD worked sometimes a little easier, a little better than the Intel. But then you also had Cyrix. You had other processors that were on the market. So, you know, if you wanted to go even cheaper, you could.
Yeah.
But then you would lack in performance.
Exactly. Or you would be blue screening and stuff like that.
But so the big question, and you ran into this the other day, and we were going to mention this on last week's show and talk about it. And I think a lot of people have, in the older school days, they haven't built a computer for a while. You know, it was always that you got the board, you got the memory, you got the processor, you got the cooling fan, you got the hard drive. Sometimes you got a hard drive controller if you wanted more than one and you didn't have the spots. You would get the DVD, Blu-ray burner, or whatever one you were getting. But then you always had to pick out the graphics card. That was important.
Yeah.
And that was based on the type of motherboard you got, what it would run. Now, the same goes with memory today. But sound card. Sound card was always like, oh, I'll get better sound with a sound card.
Yeah.
And that used to be the case.
Used to be the case.
You had sound cards from Turtle Beach and Creative Labs. And there was a couple other manufacturers in there that were real good. And, you know, you knew that you were getting the best amount of sound. But over the years, what we saw with Creative Labs is a lot of people would complain that it's just too much bloatware. Mm-hmm. There was too much that it just wasn't enough to just give you that great sound. And, you know, I had always for the longest time said, oh, sound card, got to have sound card. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with audio production.
When I built this computer, I got a sound card.
And you did. And you spent, what, an extra $60?
Maybe $7,500, something like that.
Yeah. But we're finding out now, you know what? Motherboard manufacturers kind of got it together when it comes to your sound.
I just a couple weeks ago took my sound card out because I was noticing that when I would try to use, you know, the professional microphone setup that we have using here for Tech Talk Radio, I found that I would get like a feedback noise. Like static.
Right.
Like it was a grounding issue within it. So if I would try to use this microphone that I'm talking on now to record something within my computer, or if I'd use it for gaming, people would be like, hey, every time you talk, I hear a you know, in the background.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know what? I thought it was the cable or whatever. So I got new cables. Didn't work. Finally, I just took out the sound card and I just been using the onboard. And everybody says it sounds much better now. So, yeah.
Now, I'm not knocking the people who are doing professional audio recording.
Oh, yeah, that's a different
story. In a studio.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah, you need, you know, a separate card that has its own processor, that whole bit on it. That's not, you know, not one of the lower end models that you're going to find in retail. And sometimes those can be rather pricey, too. But, yeah, that's going to make a big difference. So you're fine. You think the onboard audio can work in many situations fine.
Yeah, I mean the particular motherboard that I have here it's got 7.1 audio built in. So.
What do you think about external sources? Some people have said, you know what, they do pretty good with, like we have a Scarlett Box and we have a Creative Labs external, and they work fine when we're on location. We need to plug into a mixer, but I'm just wondering, have you ever experienced anything with those?
I've never really used external cards. No, never had to go that route.
I do want to talk about gaming because I got to tell you, do you have a favorite platform, Steam, Blizzard, Battle.net? Do you have a favorite one that you use? Origin has them?
I guess I'd probably say Steam just because my whole, you know, gaming library is there. But nowadays, it's like you pretty much have to have all the clients out there because, you know, Blizzard, which makes World of Warcraft and StarCraft and Diablo, they just got the license to be able to hold Call of Duty 4, Black Ops 4, which is weird because they've never hosted, you know, a Call of Duty one. So now
it's always been on Steam because all my other Call of Duty titles are on Steam.
Yeah, but because it's Activision Blizzard, you know, and Activision is the publisher, they put it under the Battle.net app. So you've got to have that for that. So I got that. Then there's Origin from EA to get Overwatch. And then there's, you know, Steam. And then there's Epic Games for Fortnite. And so it's like, there used to be just the one, and it used to be just Steam.
Yeah.
And now it's like everybody has their own client where they can host their games from. So favorite, probably Steam, but honestly, I really don't care. As long as the game works, I'm fine with whatever client.
There's another one too that's coming, the same one that does the voice chat, Discord.
I haven't really followed too much with that, but Discord is really cool. I mean, it really took a lot of market share from what TeamSpeak used to have. You know, TeamSpeak was, for the longest time, was the place to go for being able to communicate with your friends on a PC, you know, through games. But now, yeah, Discord is much, much better.
I got to tell you a funny story, though. You and I have been talking so much about games. Hey, I wonder if I have any games under Origin. So I I go ahead and I download the Origin app and I log in. I change my password and all that stuff. I'm like, what the heck? I had no idea I had this game, Medal of Honor and Battlefield 4.
Oh, really?
I had no idea. Last person I played the game with was back in 2014 with someone named Donnie, right? And I'm like...
That was Donnie Narco?
Yeah, yeah.
That's me.
Oh, I had no idea.
That's my game name, Donnie Narco. Yeah. Which game was Battlefield 4?
Yeah. Who in the heck is this person? Right? Yeah,
that's me.
I had no idea I had all these titles. So then I go on to battle.net. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of games in battle.net. So I was playing some of those. I mean, it was really a trip. And I'm like, I have all these games there. And that's the neatest thing about mm-hmm. that. No having to take the CDs and installing exactly. them or anything.
Well, that's what made Steam so popular was when they came out and were like, look, you don't have to have CDs anymore. Everything is stored in your account. And you can uninstall it, reinstall it, you know, anytime you want without having to worry about it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, they are going, apparently, the folks over at... the ones who put out Destiny, what is it, Battle.net?
Destiny is, yeah, Blizzard, yeah.
So there was a story the other day that Slick shared a post on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/techtalkers, that Destiny 2 free on PC yep. for a limited time.
Yeah, so they right now, or actually it's over, it was this last week they had BlizzCon.
Right.
Which is their big, you know, Blizzard conference. They talk all about the new games. They announced during BlizzCon that Destiny 2 would be free, and now that's just the base game, because there's a lot of expansions that go right. along with it that you still have to pay for, but the base game is free for a limited time
till November 18th is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, you go to their website, you're not going to be able to find it. So and that's been kind of,
well, you just get the battle.net app,
right?
And then you'll see it listed there and you just click install.
Yeah, you'll see the app, but then you're going to have to go into the gift section and you'll see it as a gift.
Yeah, there's a, yep.
Mm-hmm. And some are saying that you're going to be able to keep playing it after the 18th, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, once you have it, you have it. I mean, you'll have it. You'll have the base game for free, but you just have to claim it now before it doesn't go free anymore. So, yeah.
All right, now, when it comes to the holidays, they're not that far away. Would you say Red Dead Redemption 2 should be on the top of everybody's list for anybody that plays games?
Well, yes and no. I mean, if we're talking about all platforms, I would say Red Dead Redemption probably number one. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate coming out for the Switch, I'd say that'd be number two.
When will that be out?
December 7th.
I wonder, are they taking pre-orders for that? That would be kind of cool if they are.
I think you can. Yeah. I think, yeah, you can buy it still. Well, I mean, that's Spider-Man for the PS4. That was good.
Everybody said when that came out, people were just all over that, saying that was the one to play.
I have it, and it's good. I mean, it's really fun to be able to just, you know, web swing around New York City and Manhattan, and it's like it's almost like a one-for-one scale of New York City. It's really cool, and the graphics are great, but I just absolutely love the Red Dead. Also, I would say... Call of Duty Black Ops 4. It's a really, really good one. Call of Duty has kind of had some problems in the past with releasing games every single year, and people are like,
they get tired of it.
It's the same game over and over. This one, they actually did a really good job in. They've got a bunch of different modes in it. The graphics are great. The control schemes are good. There's not a lot of bugs.
How about Overwatch? Have you heard anything about that? I mean, is
not
that
really. I kind of fell off Overwatch. I'm not playing that much anymore. It seems like people on Overwatch are more leaning towards being professional gamers, not streamers, but gamers. So when you'd play Overwatch, it's almost like you'd always be going up against a pro team, and you just get annihilated. So I kind of gave up on Overwatch. Fortnite kind of saw it's dwindling a little bit now. They were so awesome during the last half of 2017 and pretty much all of 2018 up until about a month ago or two. But then Call of Duty came out. Now we've got the new games coming out, Red Dead and all these other games. And people are starting to kind of, you know, not be interested as much in Fortnite anymore. It seems to, it's kind of getting repetitive.
You're finding that same gameplay, the Battle Royale, now on Black Ops.
Well, yeah, you're finding it on a lot of stuff. I mean, there's rumors out there right now that, first off, they will be having an online multiplayer for Red Dead Redemption 2. But
whoa.
Now there is, and it's coming out next month.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But the thing is now there's rumors that they're even throwing a Battle Royale mode into Red Dead Redemption. So it'd be one versus, you know, well, it's one versus 99,
version one,
really.
Yeah.
But it would be all taking place in Wild West with Wild West guns and stuff like that.
That's
so that'd
cool.
be kind of, if that happens, I think that would be cool, and I think that'd be a cash cow for Rockstar.
Love it.
Knowing how much that they made off of GTA 5.
It took them, what, 2 years to port from the console versions to a
the PC
version.
Yeah, and again, that's another thing with Red Dead is there's no official word right now saying
nothing.
That if Red Dead will be coming to PC, because the original Red Dead Redemption never made it to PC. So there's people saying, look, come on, you got to get, and I really honestly wanted to wait to get it for PC, but I'm like, look, I'm not going to wait a year, 2 years, maybe never. I'm going to get it now. So I picked it up for the PlayStation 4.
Right. I'm hoping they do. A lot of people are hoping. They made a ton of money when Grand Theft went for the PC with this most latest version. They did make a ton of money with it. So I think we'll see the same thing for them. But, you know, there's different aspects when it comes to the gaming on that. So,
yes.
I don't know. I hope they do. And there's a lot of clickbait out there. So be careful. A lot of stories that say, you know, the date is coming, Red Dead Redemption 2 for PC. And then you'll get to the article after seeing a bunch of ads that'll say, at least we hoped.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of clickbait. Right now, there is no official word about anything happening with Red Dead, you know, for PC or how their multiplayer is going to be. You're just going to have to wait it out. And Rockstar Games, they are really, really good at just keeping a very tight lid on what's happening with it. So
let me ask you, though, do you just hate it when you get the clickbait? Because I am just so fed up with, you know, you go and you see a story and you want to read it. So you click on it.
Sure.
And you start to read like about four lines. You're getting into it. And then, boom, there's an ad. Yeah. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't go to somebody in the library and stick another book in his face, go, here, you might want to read this.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, people are just, you know, like we were talking earlier, the internet is everywhere now and it's everything. And so people, they've realized that they can make websites and just load it up with ads and then just say, oh, look, we've got the information here about, you know, this article or what you want to read. And they don't, because people don't know that. They don't know that they're not an official source. They think, oh, well, this place has got the scoop on it, I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, that's the way it works. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We've got more technology to speak of. You want to give a nice gift for the holidays? We've got a great idea for you coming up that you can make it real personal. We'll share that with you. That's all in the way. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. You can find us online, techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Adrienne Barbeau. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio, and you're going to learn a lot.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor. You know, the holidays just around the corner. A lot of us thinking about, you know, what to give somebody that we really care about as far as a gift. And I've got a great idea for you. Always great to talk to a friend of the show, and I consider him a friend of the show. He's been on a bunch of times with us, but always gives us such great information and a great service that they have. The folks over at Scan My Photos. And on the line with us is Mitch Goldstone. Mitch, great to talk to you.
Andy, good to speak with you again, my friend.
Same here, Mitch. Mitch, can you explain to our listeners what it is that scanmyphotos.com can do for them?
Andy, sure. You know, it goes back to the old Kodak motto of you press the button and Kodak does the rest. And that's what we did. We wanted to keep it so simple. You know, the average household has about 5,500 pictures that are tucked away in shoeboxes and photo albums. And in today's whole digital world, they need to be scanned and shared. And there's so many new ways, which I'll get into, for saving them as well. But super simple. You go to scanmyphotos.com, order a prepaid box. It holds about 1,800 photos.
Right.
And it's digitized, sent back to you. Shipping's included. If you want the photos back, there's a small fee for shipping of that. And it just works so well. There are all types of extras, photo albums, color enhancements, and all of that. But I say one of the, you know, Scan My Photos is historically, we've scanned 600 million pictures, which may sound like a lot, but there are over 3 trillion photos. And I'm sure all your listeners are nodding their head with all of those that they have as well.
Oh, yeah. I am sure that we have listeners right now that are listening to this thinking and looking at that box of photos or those albums thinking, wow, I wish I could have these as a digital image so I could email them to the relatives or make sure they're safe. Let's face it. We've seen some really bad flooding. We've seen some bad storms hit many areas. And sadly, one of the things that a lot of these people lose is those images. They get wet, they get, you know, flooded out and destroyed, and God forbid a fire. That's once that's gone, that's gone forever.
That's right. And the natural disasters from wildfires to hurricanes are so devastating. The Weather Channel did a story on us where there was a grandma in New Jersey. She's crying, so emotional. Andy, she lost everything, and she was holding one picture. And there's no reason now, because it's 100% preventable as long as your photos are scanned. You know, from the three P's, people, pets, and photos, no one should run into a house that's at risk to grab those photo albums. I heard from a woman from Santa Clarita in California, and all of her neighbors' homes had burnt down. Hers was spared, and she let me know that prior, that we had scanned almost 10,000 of her pictures, and they were all saved. All of her neighbors were gone.
Wow. During the holidays, getting these digital images scanned for people can be a great gift idea, too.
It is, and scanmyphotos.com also has a really easy e-gift certificate, which people send to all their relatives. But the other part of giving the gift is, once all the pictures are scanned during the holidays, to gather the whole family together around a television, show all the historical pictures, set up a camera in the back to record all the nostalgia, all the laughter, all the crying, have grandparents, have everyone discuss what was in the picture.
What you do, scanmyphotos.com, is not somebody sitting down, lifting up the bed of a flatbed scanner, putting it down, closing it, and scanning one picture. You actually have invested a lot into making this not only a fast process, but also a quality process.
Very much so. And it's so important for who you trust with it. At Scan My Photos, we scan about 300,000 photos every day. On the website, we have videos and we show you all about how it's done. And really, we got our start from David Pogue when he was at the New York Times. Greatest guy in the world. I owe everything to David, because I had told David that I can scan 1,000 photos in 5 minutes. He said, I don't believe that. And days later, New York Times, his full column was on Scan My Photos, put us on the map. And people that go to the website, you see hundreds of stories, reviews.
I've seen some of the reviews, and they've just been great. You know, you think about all the different photo styles over the years, 4x6, 5x7, and then you had pictures that were really tiny. You have so many different types of media.
You know, Andy, remember Polaroids? As well as, I know you're too young, but APS film.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And for anyone that has those small film cartridges, they all have the same thing in common, and that is, it's all analog. There's no way to digitize those cartridges.
Right.
So Scan Photos has a big, big part of our business for digitizing those. It's $7.95, any exposure, and you get it back digitized, which is important. And the other part, is fast, and that's why we just launched same day scanning.
Wow, that is amazing.
Why wait weeks? And you know, some other companies would wait, you know, months to get your images back. Place an order for same day scanning. It's up to 1,000 4x6 photos. As soon as we get it, it's digitized. It's uploaded within minutes of scanning. You actually get an email with a link to all your images, and it includes return delivery plus the higher archival 300 DPI resolution. I have a note here, important to pique your listeners' interest. Just type same day as the promo code. If you order the same day scanning, you save $25, so it will only be $100 to scan 1,000 photos. And the day we get it, it's digitized back to you.
What if, in this case, Mitch, and this is something I don't think I've ever asked you before, if somebody has lost their photos but still have the negatives, do they have to go and get those negatives processed, or can you even work with those in some cases?
Sure, absolutely. People can send negatives, regular 35-millimeter medium format negatives, digitize those, and we're leaving out the biggest part, which are slides, those boxes and carousels of 35-millimeter slides that need to be digitized too, and we do that with color corrections, all of that. And that's really fun because those go back decades, you know, the hairstyles, the cars, the everything from decades and generations ago. We just did an order earlier today from Las Vegas in the 1960s from 35-millimeter slides, and, you know, to see the difference.
Amazing. Yeah, I love doing that. I love looking at the archival pictures of towns that you've lived in or towns, and it kind of takes you back. You remember, oh, I remember that drive-in. You know, who remembers a drive-in? But again, it's something you could share with the youngins and keep for prosperity for families. Now, when they do this and they say, how do they get the media back? Now, you did mention it goes online so they could go ahead and get their photos that way. Do they get it back on a DVD? Is it like a USB type device? How does that work?
I want to keep it really simple, like a la carte, where I don't want to charge anyone for things they don't want. So it's really simple with the photos. It's archived on a DVD data disk. If you want a flash drive, it's an 8-gigabyte flash drive, or uploaded to you. So you basically choose whichever one you want. I really urge everyone, once they get their images digitized, either we make copies for you, you could do it yourself, they're just regular JPEG files, not locked, you own it, everything. But please, please make copies. Give it to friends, relatives, put a copy in a safety deposit box, keep them off site. I get messages from my customer service team all the time saying, you scanned my photos in 2013 and I lost them. Mm. You know, because of privacy issues, we don't retain anything for more than 30 days. So yeah, you got to make backups, and please keep them off site.
Now, how about, I know some listeners that are listening right now that maybe, you know, when the 16-millimeter cameras came out and they were shooting film, or even the Super 8s, Super 8 with sound. I mean, I was a young filmmaker, and that's what, you know, I used to shoot with. You'd have to wait for it to come back from the processing lab and the whole bit. And it's something really cool about taking that stuff and seeing it now. Is that something you guys do as well?
It is. And those are really, really good. That's all on the Scan My Photos website.
Well, I know being recognized by those in the tech media of the service that you provide, that's good. But also getting the Weather Channel to take a look at. And you've had others that really have endorsed the type of service you do.
One of the coolest ones was the U.S. Postal Service. I had reached out to their public affairs team in Washington, D.C., and was telling them how they built my business because people trust the post office with delivering their photos. And later this week, I'm actually speaking to a group of 100 businesses at a U.S. postal conference. And what they did is they came out, 12-person production crew, and made a 2-minute commercial on Scan My Photos.
Nice.
Their interest was a story that people trust the post office with safely delivering their most precious possessions. And we came up with cool stuff. We now have this tracking. As soon as that prepaid box that you order is brought to the post office, there's special tracking on it. So we know exactly where it is as soon as you drop it off. And only complaint, well, not too many, but that people say is that they get lots and lots of emails from us because I want people to know exactly where it is. And with same day now, literally within minutes of you getting your first email, you're going to get another one. And about an hour later, a third one with all your pictures.
Well, sadly, you know, the situation may come up where a memorial service is being done for somebody who's passed. And, you know, usually photos aren't digitized. So this is a process where they would be able to reach out to you, get some photos digitized, of course, get them back and be able to put together a nice show for the memorial service. So that is something that some listeners I know would be thinking about.
Andy, that's why we launched it, because it's dealing with these people, you know, it's so emotional. The last thing you need to worry about is anything. Mm-hmm. And that's where we come in and just handle everything for you. We actually, beyond customer service, we set up a concierge desk where there's an individual person that stays with you the entire time. It's that important. And the last thing for memorial service or even birthday, anniversary, something happy you want to deal with is anything. That's what we do for you.
So the best thing really is for our listeners to go to scanmyphotos.com. They'll find out everything they need to do there. Mitch, always love talking to you. There's so many great, you know, great things that people can do with this. And I do hope they follow through. And as always, we look forward to talking to you again really soon.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And congratulations to you. I'm following you on Twitter and all over all the time. And I'm learning always.
Very cool. And, you know, and I love to let our listeners and even viewers for the TV segment know that this service is out there and it's something they should look at. So once again, Mitch, thanks. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. That's coming up.
And now back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, this is comedian Kathleen Madigan, and you're listening to Justin and Andy on Tech Talk Radio, something I will never be listening to because I hate technology. But for those of you that do, these are your guys.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. Thank you. Big question that we get asked quite a bit, Justin.
All the time.
Yeah. Is, do you turn your computer off when you're not using it?
Yeah. Or do you just put it to sleep, or do you reboot it? Or, I mean, what do you do?
Well, there was a big story that happened about a month and a half ago, and it was kind of wrongly reported, but it did bring up the question quite a bit as to your practices when it comes to your computer. Now, I don't know if you caught the story, but it was about the Hubble telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened is, you know, the Hubble had kind of lost communications. It just wasn't able to reestablish so they could do the things that it needed to do while it was out in space.
Sure. And it's really far out there. It's not like they can just send somebody out there and be like, oh, hey, I want to fix this real quick.
So if they ended up...
that would be an expensive tech call.
That'd be great. Hey, listen, we need you to go up in outer space.
I wasn't even supposed to work today.
You know, my luck, I would get there and I'd forget my tools. That's how it would be.
Yeah.
So the engineers were apparently working on a fix and the whole bit. And when a fix did happen, the story that got out was that engineers basically rebooted it. That was it. Now, it's
rebooted
a lot.
Literally turned it off, turned it back
turned
on.
Turned it off, turned it back on, and
my
boom.
My question is, if the thing lost communications, how did they get to tell it to turn off and turn it back on again?
Yeah, maybe I don't know. Maybe they had a backup. I'm not sure exactly what it was. From what I understand, that is not the base, you know, explanation of how they got it working again. They had to move some things. They had to work some gyros, and they ended up getting it working again. But it made us, a lot of people in the IT world, just laugh.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because there are so many times where you'll get that call, and I've had it too. I've had that call. I've had to make that call where, you know, something's not working right. And the first question, did you turn it off and turn it on?
Mm-hmm.
Did you reboot it?
Yep, exactly.
And, you know, I
90% of the time, that works.
It does.
Literally, it does.
It does. It, like, resets drivers.
Unless you're running, like, Linux or Unix, then... you don't reboot your system once every like 10 years. That's about it.
I don't know if it's that much.
Oh, no, seriously. I remember. Well, actually, I really can't say. Let me try to word this well.
Yeah. You don't want to get in trouble.
I saw a T-shirt once of a guy wearing a thing, and it basically said in lesser terms, I get coitus as much as I have to reboot my Unix system. And it was a picture. I mean, the guy was a total, like, you know, total, like, backroom nerd, you know, like.
Kind of like the guy in War Games who was in the computer store. The tech guy there with the big, thick glasses, very sweaty.
Oh, yeah. Looked like that guy.
That would probably be about right. Yes. So the question comes up, you know.
Yeah, of course.
How often, when you're on, say, let's say a Windows platform.
Yeah.
How often should somebody reboot their computer? Because a lot of people I leave the studio computers on. And once in a while, I will go ahead and shut them down. They are running a Windows 10 operating system. But honestly, how often should you do that?
Well, I, with my PC at home, I reboot it, fully reboot it about once a week. Mm-hmm. Now, I put it to sleep every time I'm done using it, you know, just to save power. But I find that Windows 10 now is pretty stable in terms of, you know, memory management and stuff like that, that keeps it running usually at peak performance.
Do you remember the nightmares with Windows Vista?
You know what? I never really had a problem with Vista.
Memory leaks. I never had a problem with Vista.
I never really did. Now, Windows
Lucky.
ME, Windows yeah, maybe ME I'm, wait, can maybe go I'm, straight to hell.
You know what? I might be thinking about ME.
Yeah. Vista was widely known as being a really, really bad operating system. Windows Vista was just as bad, if not worse, than Windows ME.
Yeah.
Now, Windows ME, like I said, that thing can go straight to hell.
Yeah.
Okay, because I did not like that at all. But, you know, honestly, with Vista, I didn't really have a problem. Windows 7, I didn't have a problem. That was a really good, stable operating system.
7, I thought was great.
Windows 10, when it first came out, I was like, it's kind of having some problems. But you know what? Now it's been out for, 3 years now? And it's stable as ever. And I love Windows 10. I really do. And so the question to be answered, I would say, you know what? If you're a heavy, heavy user, and you're doing a lot of video games or a lot of like editing with like big programs that take up a lot of memory, I'd say reboot it every single day. But if you're just getting on for like quick email, or web surfing, I'd say reboot it once a week, but put it to sleep when you're done.
You know, I noticed you just glazed right over Windows 8.
Yeah, I don't really like to talk about that. It brings back a lot of bad memories.
Is that like glazing over Microsoft Bob?
Yeah. No, Windows 8, to be honest, Windows 8, the original Windows 8, I did not like it at all. Windows 8.1 wasn't that great, but it wasn't that bad. I think the problem with Windows 8 was that it introduced the new start menu, and it tried to do too many things too quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Windows 10 kind of brought back a few of those old favorites, but yet was still trying to push for something new. And I think that's where Microsoft went wrong, is they tried to do too many new things at once with Windows 8.
Think about all the learning curves we've had with Microsoft, from Windows 3.1 to Windows 95 to 95 OS R2 to 98, you know, 98 just up SC. The chain. You know, 98, I'll be honest with you, 98 to me was a great operating system. I liked it.
Dude, back when we were working together at KLPX, I mean, that was 98 SC was on all the computers.
That everything there was 98. I think to this day, it still might be 98.
Probably.
No, that's just a little slam.
No, yeah.
Although I should not comment, because we see Windows XP, which came out after all of that, still on some systems.
And Windows XP is not supported by Microsoft anymore. If you have problems with Windows XP, they're like, yeah, it's time to upgrade, dude.
There are some corporations and government entities like the IRS, from what I understand.
The United States Navy still runs on Windows 7.
Right.
And some of it Windows XP, because their proprietary programs were written for that operating system. So they can't upgrade because it would cost them hundreds of millions of dollars to redo these applications that are critical for ship deployments, wartime operations,
right?
That would be not supported if it was Windows 7 or Windows 10. It just wouldn't be, it wouldn't be supported.
You know what? I can't stand it though when, if you try, and the a lot of people, you know, they just move on and they get what the most recent thing is. They buy a computer with Windows 10 on it. We talked about that earlier with the OEM versions. Which if you hear that term and you wonder what that means, say you go to get a computer built for you, or you're buying hardware and you want a copy of Windows, you generally get an OEM version, which is original equipment manufacturer.
Sure, yeah.
And that's, you know, like you get on your car, you have an OEM version of something on your car. Same goes with Windows. You know, you can buy a version of that. Now, the one difference you're going to get, like versus an HP version, is you can get a more streamlined copy of Windows.
If you have an OEM version,
because, you know, you get a version from HP on your, it's got HP stuff on it. You know, it's got some features on there. Some of it may be good. Same going with any manufacturer, but you know, OEM version generally is going to be more streamlined. Now, what I think is sad though, is like, I have old computers, you know, in my workshop. And I found when I was going through storage, a bunch of old Travin tape backups, you know, Colorado, the tape backups, the whole bit. So it has to run off a parallel port.
Ooh.
All right. So you try to find a parallel port. You try to find a parallel port that'll work. So it means I have to reinstall Windows 98, maybe even 95 OSR2, which I do have licenses and copies for. You can't get them installed to get them to work. It's super difficult. It can be done, you know, but, you know, my goal has always been to have a copy of something in the, you know, the 9, copy of XP, copy of something always. So if I needed to do a digital data archive or recovery or anything like that, I have a computer that's ready to handle it.
Well, you know, let's talk about like virtualization. You know, VMware is really taking off in leaps and bounds from what it used to be.
Explain what VMware is to our listeners who maybe don't know.
Okay, so VMware is virtual machine ware, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Whatever. But it's like software. So it is literally software. Mm-hmm. But what it does is it runs on a physical box, just like any other computer, okay? But it allows you to create multiple copies of a virtual PC. So when you boot in your computer, it boots into the hypervisor, which is basically like a layer of software that runs between the physical hardware and your operating system. You boot into the hypervisor, and then you pick which machine you want to run. So it could be, I want to run my media PC, or I want to run my email server, or I want to run my web server. And even though all of it physically lives on one machine, it's all virtualized. So a lot of tech guys, you know, I've seen so many stories about all these guys that they go after these scammers, you know, the guys that try to scam you by calling in saying, oh, I'm from Microsoft and you need to let me into your PC right now. They what they do is they create a virtual machine.
Right.
And they're like, okay, yeah, sure. Because they don't care, because their virtual machine is isolated from the rest of their machines.
Right.
So even if a scammer takes over a virtual machine, they can just delete the virtual machine and they're back to being. And the cool thing about virtual machines is you can take snapshots. So instead of doing a full backup or whatever, you just take a snapshot, a picture of how your virtual machine looks, and it saves that data. So then if you need to experiment with stuff, or you want to experiment with viruses or something like that to see what a particular virus might do to your computer, you can do that on a virtual machine. And then when something bad happens, you just like, okay. And I just revert back to my old version of my PC. So the virtual machine operates just like a real PC. You can't tell the difference when you're sitting at Windows that you're on a virtual machine or if you're on a physical machine. So VMware is taken off. And as a matter of fact, a lot of data centers, you know, in fact, my company, a lot of our stuff is operating off of VMware.
Right.
We have one physical server that runs like 10 or 15 virtual servers that operate all of our things like FTP, email, sales applications, you know, things like that, that they're all virtualized machines. And that's a cool thing too. So if you want to do something where you want to have a copy of 95, Windows 98, Windows 2000, Windows NT, Windows 7, Windows 8, you could have one physical box and have a license for VMware and then just create all these virtual machines.
And VMware, there's a good community that is out there to answer questions about it. There's books on VMware for beginners,
absolutely,
all of that stuff.
And so, VMware is owned by Dell.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
really?
Dell bought VMware back in, 2012, 2014, something like that.
Wow. I had no idea, because I've used that in a work environment as well. And I thought that was kind of cool. And one of the big purchases we didn't even mention, Red Hat, I don't know if you heard, was bought by IBM.
Yeah. Yeah. IBM. We talked about it last show. IBM bought Red Hat for like, what, $6 billion or something like that?
And it makes sense, because IBM still is in the business world. As making rack servers
and the business world really honestly runs off Linux and Unix.
So, you know, it's not a bad thing. I had thought years ago that Microsoft had invested, and I believe they did in Red Hat, but
I think they did. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I do. I don't know the details of that, but I do believe they did make a sizable investment in it.
Good stuff. All right. We got to take a quick break. We come back. We have kind of our I don't know if I'd call it a website. It's a product of the week that I think is absolutely ridiculous and only because we have the internet is it something that is going to become big. We'll share that with you coming up. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/techtalkers. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
My problem is I've got my pointer in the middle of the screen, and I need to move it to the left, but my mouse is over on the left-hand side of the pad. And if I go any further to the left, it's going to go off the pad. Anyway, if you could give me a call, I'd appreciate it. I'll wait until I hear from you.
Hey, this is Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater and RiffTracks.com, and you're listening to the greatest show on the planet, Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy.
All right, I'm hoping I get a chance to play a little Red Dead Redemption 2. This week, I'm going to get a license, and I will play it. And at least I'll know a little bit about what everybody's talking about.
So much fun.
Did you hear there was also, I mean, I know that, you know, Deadpool 2 is going to be in theaters in December with a special PG version, kind of a Christmas theme. They want to bring a younger or even older audience that may not have liked some of the gratuitous violence. But something I heard this past week that I thought was really cool, ticket sales, or at least a good portion of it, is going to go to kids dealing with pediatric cancer.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
So I thought that was really cool. So
that's cool. Yeah, because, I mean, kids do want to see Deadpool, but it is not a film for kids.
Not at all.
No,
my God.
It is not a film for kids.
So I want to see it just to see the edits that they do. And sure. they've actually shot stuff specifically for this new version.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
That'll be coming out.
I still actually haven't even seen Deadpool 2 yet. I really need it. I needed it. Hey, don't talk to me, mister, about not seeing shows, okay?
Well, have you heard about them editing Call of Duty? There's been a lot of people angry. They're going to be taking out a lot of the blood effects, more of the, you know, stuff that was 17 and older in the game, try to make it mass appeal.
Wait, they're not going to do this to me, right? They're not going to make it a widespread thing where everybody has to deal with this, are they?
I believe they are, and I think that's what's gotten the gaming world a little upset.
That's BS.
You might check Reddit to see about that.
That's BS.
All right. So you have found a game that we want to mention that is a little different, and we're hoping to get more into it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I found it on mobile. It's actually been out for 5 years. It was released on the PC about 5 years ago, but it follows in the footsteps of the Tycoon series. So it's basically like this one's
like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah, like Roller Coaster Tycoon, okay. Or Restaurant Tycoon or whatever. You know, it's a simulation game. This is called Game Dev Tycoon.
All right.
And so you are a game developer. And so you are sitting behind a computer. You start off in your garage and you're building games, and you get to choose from different categories. You get to research different things like, you know, different engines that the game would run on, or better graphics or better storyline. And you build games, and then you release the game, and then the community reacts to it and says if they like it or not. And then it obviously does its sales. And then from there, you upgrade into a better office. You get to hire more staff. And then you get more and more to the point where you operate one of the largest video game developers in the world. It's a really cool game. Now, again, it's been on PC for over 5 years, but it recently just came to the phone.
All right.
And mobile gaming is definitely a big market. A lot of people like to just grab their phone, play a game real quick, and then put it down.
Right.
And that's where I picked it up on mobile. And yeah, it's $3.99 on mobile, which initially I was kind of like,
$3.99.
Yeah. It's maybe $4. I mean, initially I was like, I don't know if I want to pay this, but you know what? I was like, I'll give it a shot. So I bought it. I really enjoy it. And I really think we need to get these guys on the show to talk about their game, because they're coming out with another game. It's something like a tavern simulator.
Oh, nice.
So you get to basically be a bartender, I guess.
That one's Tavern Keeper, right?
Tavern Keeper. Yeah. I don't really know much about it. It's kind of being secret right now. But it's going to be another simulation game. So it might be that you get to own your own bar and you get to do things, which I got to be honest, I'm really excited about that, because as personally, I've always wanted to own my own bar in real life, and to be able to do it in a simulation, I think that's something that hasn't been done yet. And I think that would be something really interesting to see played out on a video game.
All right. We'll try and get them on the, they're in good old Australia.
Yeah. They're in Australia. The manufacturer, I'm sorry, the developer that makes Game Dev Tycoon, by the way, is Greenheart Games. And you can find them at greenheartgames.com.
All right. Most silliest product, but it will only sell so well because it is available on the web. That's the only way. And it is pretty idiotic. It is called the nose warmer. Now, in case you don't know what it is something that you wear that has a strap in the back and fits over your nose, which is great for the colder temperatures you may find in places like Denver. It's available in fleece, faux fur, wool, leopard print, and more. And they sell for only $13. This woman who's made it at nosewarmer.com is from England. And you know what? It sounds like they will sell quite a bit. So again, if you want to check that out,
I
nose
really
warmer.
Have no words.
I'll send you one.
No, you will not. Because I will not. I will not wear it.
Can you imagine if you sneeze, you're going to break your neck?
Yeah, right?
All right. That's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. We'll be back with more next week, even including about building your own drone. So we'll tell you all about that coming up. Have yourselves a wonderful week. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. We will see you next week. Don't forget, hit us up on the website, techtalkradio.com. See you next week.